Rebecca Lobina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center is your guest on this part of the hotline this morning. And so we're talking, as always, about small business and some things that small business needs to be aware of. And mm-hmm. your office is equipped to handle any number of things that small business can bring up. And that there's usually no cost to the business to get the help that you need. You're funded by the SBA. So just maybe tell people again about the office.
Yes. So the Small Business Development Centers, we have actually been around, this year makes 40 years. So we're having a big celebration day. March 18th is SBDC Day across the nation. And just to kind of celebrate, you know, how long we've actually been established. And our whole purpose is to educate entrepreneurs, business owners to be more successful. I mean, it's really that simple. And that's why we're always paired with universities across the country or economic development in organizations are also paired with SBDCs throughout the country, because it makes sense. If our goal is to educate entrepreneurs and make them more successful, then it makes sense to pair us with economic development institutions or higher ed institutions.
One of the topics that you would like to talk about today that you brought in with you is under the title Buyer Beware. So which buyers are we talking about here? Customers of retail organizations or business customers of other businesses?
I think all of the above, actually. So just buyer beware when it comes to anyone who is in business, whether it is you are looking to buy might be the wrong word, but looking to get a loan, acquire a loan. I mean, you could think of it as you're buying the loan, you're paying for it, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
So if you're looking to get a loan, or you're looking to purchase another business, or if you're looking to even sell your business, or any of those things, you're looking to expand and that kind of thing, you just need to be aware of the different entities that are out there. Most are wonderful entities that do great jobs, great services, like ourselves, the SBDC. But there are some out there that don't have your best interest at heart. And so I wanted to make sure that people were aware of that. It's kind of like the grants. There's a lot of people that call in and like, oh, I hear that you can get grants for a small business if you're, you know, a woman or this kind of thing. And I'm like, no. The answer is very short and simple, no. But here's why people think that. They see all these things on television that say, and we've all seen the guy with the question marks all over him, you know, all over mm-hmm. his suit. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, there's all these grants out there. Yes, there are grants out there, tons of grants out there, but they are not for for-profit businesses. That's the part they don't tell you. They are for nonprofit organizations primarily. They are difficult to get because there's not an unlimited supply of grants available. You know, if there is a grant available, there is X amount of dollars for that grant that's given out, and then that's it. But there may be thousands of people that apply for that one grant. So, and they can only give it to two people, right? So we help to educate people on things like what are the actual grants that are available, the fact that there is no charge to apply for a real grant. There's no grant fee.
That's an important point, isn't it?
Yes. If they're charging,
it's a real tip off.
It is a very big tip off. If they're charging you $250 as an application fee for the grant, it's not valid. So, I mean, and that's just one simple way to know that that's just, it's not how it works.
It's a scam.
It's a scam. It's a scam to get your $250. There are people out there that are grant writers and they get paid good money to do what they do and they are legitimate. But they can never guarantee that you will get a grant. So if they say, you know, my fee is $3,000 and you'll get this grant, that's fraud, because they cannot guarantee that you'll get the grant. The grant is given by a third party. They have their own methods on how they score those grants. And you need to understand that if you're paying them, you're paying them for the work that they're doing, but you may not get that grant.
So how can you separate, you as a business, separate the legitimate grant writers who know what to do and mm-hmm. know how to do a good job with it against the scammers.
Right. And so that was what I really wanted to talk about, is the differences between people that call themselves advisors versus brokers versus experts versus consultants, et cetera, et cetera. So first and foremost, there's advisors, right? So an advisor can be anyone. and usually they're free. They don't charge you for their advice, if you will. They can be business owners. They can be your friend. They can be people that are in the industry, like a CPA or a lawyer. And but they are just giving advice for free. They help you plan a course of action. So, but there's typically not a fee involved, and you can have as many advisors as you see fit. They give advice. You take it, don't take it, see it as you may.
Would SCORE be a good example of that?
Yes, SCORE is a good example of an advisor because they are free, but they also may very well fall into the category of expert, depending on who it is you're talking with in SCORE. So SCORE, for those in the listening audience that don't know, SCORE is a partner agency of the SBA, and SCORE is for retired executives usually who have industry experience, and so they try to pair you as a entrepreneur with a SCORE advisor who hopefully is in your industry. So if you're looking, I have a client right now, for example, one of the advisors he's using is from SCORE. That particular advisor actually is on the East Coast, but they are in the industry. It's distilling industry. That's where they're located, but they have, you know, decades of experience in the distilling industry. And so they're using them as an advisor, but that person would probably also be categorized as an expert.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are legitimate advisors out there who work for free, and will provide you with useful information. And you know the difference between them and the scammers, and can help people negotiate that path.
Yes, absolutely. And so since we talked about experts, experts have a comprehensive and authoritative knowledge of a skill in a particular area. And typically experts will have something that is evidence of that. Like they'll have credentials, certifications, licenses, things like that. Or like I said before, decades of experience in that particular very specific industry. Not a whole bunch of different industries, but that specific industry. And so, you know, an expert is someone who is the one that can actually help you with something. They have in-depth knowledge. So if you think about accounting as a very simple example, if you want to go to an accountant and you want an expert to help you, somebody that is a CPA is a certified public accountant. So they've sat through an exam, received a license as a CPA in the state of Missouri, and may very well have other credentials, certifications that show how well they know their specific industry, right? So they would be classified as an expert. A lot of times you have to pay for expertise, but sometimes, like with SCORE, you can get expertise from retired people as well without necessarily having to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. SCORE, by the way, if I remember correctly, it stands for Service Corps of Retired Executives.
It's exactly right.
And it's been around for a long, long time.
Yes.
And it gives it kind of benefits the retiree as well as the recipient of the information, because retirees like to share the information that they've picked up all those years, and it makes them, they still feel useful and helpful. And
absolutely. Absolutely. And they give really good advice, information on the industry that you may not have known, but they know because, like we said, they've been in the industry for years and years. So they're the one that can actually do the work and actually know the information. They don't send you to somebody else to do it. They know what they're talking about. They are the authoritarian.
So we've talked about people who can give you free advice, but there is also a class of people who have to be paid for their advice, but it's not necessarily a bad thing either.
All right, absolutely. So those would usually fall into the category of like a broker or a consultant. So a consultant provides, they're an expert that provide advice in a specific field as well, but they get paid to do so. So that's usually how they then become a consultant. So they have a niche that they know really well, and so they get paid to help you with that particular niche. That niche could be anything from strategic planning as a service to, because they've done it for years and years and years, or it could be something like, and now my mind goes blank, but it doesn't matter. You get the idea.
Happens to me all the time.
Now, a broker, on the other hand, A broker is usually paid as well, and they help you to buy or sell goods. They help buy or sell goods for other people. So it's not their goods or that they're selling. It's yours that they're selling, helping you to sell, or they're arranging a deal to sell. So a lot of people think of like real estate brokers, but then there's also business brokers. The important thing to note is that in the state of Missouri, there's no such thing as a business broker license. There is a real estate license, and in some states that's required even to do business brokering, but in the state of Missouri, it's not. So theoretically, anyone could say they're a broker or act as a broker, but not have a license to do so.
So how do you sort out, if you're looking to deal with a business broker, maybe as a buyer or a seller of your business, how do you sort out the good ones from the bad ones?
Right. So first and foremost, you want to look for confidentiality between the buyer, sellers, and the brokers. And one of the ways that you know that it's a legitimate broker is because of that. I mean, there are a lot of businesses that get bought and sold, and you and I and the rest of the world have no idea who brokered that deal. Mm-hmm. That's how it should be, because that means that the broker kept everything confidential like they were supposed to, right? So if you know who's brokering deals, then that tells you that that's probably there's something wrong there, because they're publicizing that they're doing it and acting as a broker. So confidentiality is the number one thing. Another thing to look for is, again, any type of – I realize in the state of Missouri they don't require a business broker license, but you can look for other types of credentials that would show that they have the experience to do something like that. So maybe they've brokered deals with others. They've done business brokering in the past with another company for years and years. So you want to get some general information on them before you decide to utilize their services, just to make sure that there aren't any conflicts of interest. And that's another thing. That's a red flag if there's a conflict of interest. And keep in mind, too, that conflicts of interest are perceived, not necessarily realized. But you want to make sure that there aren't any perceived conflicts of interest either. So a conflict of interest is a situation in which a person is in a position to derive benefit from actions or decisions made in their official capacity. So if they if they're representing more than one party, including themselves, themselves or their organization might be one of those parties, then that means that there could potentially be a conflict of interest. So you want to make sure that you look for that. If they have a stake in the outcome somehow or another, you want to that's a big red flag as well. If it benefits them or their organization.
Yeah, they turn out to be, say, a part owner of the.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly, a part owner. Yeah, that would definitely be a conflict of interest for sure, for sure. So here's some examples, not just with brokers, but also with banking and getting loans. So an unethical banker, for example, could have a conflict of interest. If they're pushing the deal to go through very quickly, you know, and there's never a rush for, I can assure you, there are never a rush for a loan in a bank, okay? So if you have a banker you're working with who's pushing it to go really, really fast, something's not right. That should be a red flag for you. Unfortunately, just the logical thought process for most consumers would be, well, they're just trying to hurry it along for me, for my benefit. No. Because you want the banker to be on your side. So you want them, they have due diligence that they have to go through as well. And if they're not doing their due diligence, it's also, if you think about it, it's due diligence on your behalf as well. So if things are getting skipped over and papers aren't getting seen that need to be seen, like maybe you don't get to see the actual financial tax returns, that's a problem. You, as the purchaser of a business or, you know, whatever the case may be, you should see the financials, not just the internal financials, but you should see the tax returns. If your advisor or your banker is not letting you see those, that's a big red flag. And I actually had a case where that happened recently. And I was floored that they purchased a business. This was before they saw me. They purchased a business and never, ever saw the tax returns. They saw the internal financials, but those don't always match the tax returns. And then they purchased the business. It was a crazy, crazy thing that happened. And part of the reason was because, you know, the method that they went through, they didn't get expert advice. They didn't get it through a confidential source. It was all of the red flags were there. But if you don't know what to look for, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So
in that particular case, were they defrauded in some way?
Well, that's a legal term, and so I'm not sure. that would be for them and their attorneys to figure out. But it would seem that what happened, I think, is that they trusted the person they were working with right. to do what they were supposed to do on their behalf, and it didn't work out that way.
Talking with Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center about things to beware of if you're in business, if you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's a dangerous world.
Yeah.
But we don't want to, and we've talked about this a little bit on the break, not everybody is out to get you.
No. Most people are on the up and up. Most people are experienced. They do know what they're doing. They have your best interest at heart. But
you have to find those people first.
You do have to find those people first. You, as the person needing the assistance, you have to have the willingness to vet them as well and ask a few questions. You know, it's kind of like when you go to a doctor and then they say they're going to do surgery and you go to a surgeon. You've never met this person before. It's not a bad idea to either Google them or ask them questions. Hey, you know, where'd you go to medical school? How long have you been doing this? You know, mm-hmm. You see comedy shows on TV where somebody walks in and they're like, you look like you could be my kid. Are you old enough to do this? You know, and while that may be age discrimination, but the questions are still valid. You know, are you experienced? How many of these have you done? You know, do you know what you're doing? And can you prove that to me? And that's really all that you need to know when you're talking to the different entities that hopefully are really just trying to help you. So there are some ways to avoid being taken advantage of. So if you're out there trying to get a loan, for example, check out the interest rate. If the interest rate is super duper high, there's a reason for that. And by super high, I mean like higher than a credit card. You know, like if we're talking 20% or better, this is a big red flag that this is probably, you know, bordering on getting up there to the payday loan kind of things. And it means that if nobody else is willing to give you money, unless they give it to you at a super high interest rate, then you need to talk with an expert in the field to find out why, you know, and so they can help you. Because the reason why may be you don't need to take on more debt.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find out those things. If the term is super short, like I've recently heard of a 90-day loan, I'm like, okay, let's talk about that. If any part of something is being rushed through or they say they can get it done quickly, why? What's the rush? You know, you should be cautious and everyone should take their time and make sure everything is done correctly, not in a hurry. And then if you're working with a banker, ask about their longevity with the company or in that industry. And then for advisors and experts, you want to go to someone like the SBDC, for example. So our organization has been around for 40 years, right? We have confidentiality, non-disclosure agreements with every single client that we talk with. Even if we only talk with them one time, the world will never know who I spoke with, and that's okay because that's my role, right? They shouldn't know who's my client, you know, and that's how it should be. How many years have they been doing the service? I've been doing this with the SBDC for 13 years, and the SBDC itself has been around for 40 years. Also look again for credentials that authenticate their expertise in their field. So I'm a certified economic development finance professional myself. I am. And I'm also a certified business coach, along with some other stuff that I have credentials for. And I've owned several businesses myself in the past, and I work with over 100 business owners every year. So I have credentials and some authority in my field that I'm speaking about. You know, we're audited yearly. It's a federal audit that we go through every year. And we also have a third party, the Chrisman Survey, that goes out each year to all of our clients for quality control and customer service. And then just recently, the University of Missouri I think you got the press release on this because you sent me a congrats on it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, the University of Missouri's Business Development Program. My SBDC center was actually rated number one. It's in the top five, but I was number one for client satisfaction with that survey. So those are the types of things you want to look for when you are out there searching for an entity to help you in your business in any fashion. You know, are they confidential and do they have the authority to talk about what they're talking about?
So this is just to stay on that for just a second.
Yeah.
This is a, you're like a portal mm-hmm. into all of this whole field of services, some of them very specific, very particular, but instead of trying to evaluate all of those on your own, mm-hmm. they could come to you and get the benefit of all the evaluations that have been done over 40 years, and it's right at your disposal, and it doesn't cost anything.
Exactly. And because we are such a large organization, we have a lot of resources that we bring to the table, again, at no cost to the client because of our funding through the university and through the SBA. And, we have access to that entire network of the SBDC. The important thing, too, to note there is that I actually, because of my expertise, I'm actually able to work and do most of the work that is needed with my clients. But if they need something specific in like international trade, we have certified international trade experts. We have procurement technical assistance centers that are a resource partner with us. SCORE is a resource partner of ours. The Extension, MU Extension, is a resource partner of ours. They actually hold our grant. It's very convoluted on how that grant works, but they hold the grant. So they're the ones that write the papers. those are the things that you just really need to look at.
Got about 30 seconds left. What final thoughts you want to leave with our listeners?
Just want to let everybody know that my office is located inside the St. Joseph Chamber of Commerce, which is a wonderful facility where I am hosted. You do not have to be a member of the chamber to come in and see me, just so people know that. And you can reach me directly at 816-364-4105.
All right, Rebecca. And again, congratulations. That was a...
Oh, thank you.
That was a wonderful award.
Thank you. I mean,
that's number one...
In the state.
In the state, in customer satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. And number three on number of startups.
That's terrific.
Thank you. So.